Hello and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach, and I'll be your host for today's episode. This is the video game music podcast featuring only 8-bit and 16-bit era video game music. This is episode 140. And today, this is an unusual episode because Rob, the legendary Rob F. Switch, is not here today. Unfortunately, due to an unexpected thing, Rob was not able to make it to the recording. So this is the first time this has ever happened. This is the first time I've ever, done this by myself. But I gotta say, I feel it's weird. I feel very naked without my co-host Rob here today, and we'll see how this pans out. We do have a guest though in the studio, and joining me today is Jordan Morris, who you might know from the Jordan and Jesse Go, or just Jordan Jesse Go podcast, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the Netherlands they call it Jordan and Jesse Go, but it's just because they don't have commas over there.
Oh, is that true?
It's not. But yes, Jordan
and
Jesse Go.
I would believe you. You said that to me with such conviction.
Here. Yeah, and people just, in general, I think don't know a lot about the Netherlands, so you can just kind of make sweeping generalizations.
And where is it known as Jordan N. Jesse Go? Like, apostrophe N, kind that's of like only, Ghouls and Ghosts style.
That's only for, like, little kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, when little kids listen, it's Jordan
you guys have like,
Jesse Go.
Right, okay, yeah.
So we have a...
And Go is spelled with a crayon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And an upside-down exclamation point or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
They're Spanish kids.
Yeah, right.
Jordan Jesse Go, and also you were a writer and actor on the IGN web show Game Shop.
That's right. And I was one of the writers / voice actors for Fetch Quest on Geek and Sundry.
Right, this is what you just finished recently.
Yeah, we just wrapped. It was 10 episodes. And it's still hanging out online if people want to go and watch over at the Geek and Sundry YouTube channel. It's kind of just this kind of fast, crazy, silly kind of 5-minute burst of flash animation with kind of video game jokes and sketches, and it's kind of just maybe like a robot chicken, but for video games. Lots of deep in jokes. They didn't tell us to, cater to a broad audience. They're like, this is for gamers, so just make any deep cut joke that you want. So.
And you focus mainly on newer stuff.
For this web. Yeah, it was a lot of newer stuff. We did a couple of more retro-y episodes. We did an episode on what to do with your old peripherals. So we had some Power Pad jokes, some Super Scope 6 material. Had a few Menacer jokes that got cut, but, that was never as popular as the Super Scope 6.
Yeah. I wanted to also mention, and I guess you're gonna sort of be my Rob F. Switch. For today, or you know what? Let's just no. I take that back.
Let's
actually
feel it. I mean, I can't hope to replace
Rob
him.
Rob usually sits here, and we're just gonna leave the seat open. I'm gonna pull the seat out from another table.
Is gesturing to his right,
and his spirit will be here.
Okay.
I feel,
And maybe, I know they say like in radio or audio, like dead air is bad, but maybe we can just leave a little bit of room and people can imagine what Rob's response would be.
Yes. I like that. So the spirit of, we're leaving this chair open for the spirit of Rob F. May he rest in peace.
Right.
He's not dead, but
he's obviously busy.
He's busy, so may he get some rest.
Sure,
later tonight,
I'd have a good night's sleep.
And may he enjoy this episode when he listens to it, I wanted to mention this. This is something that relates to the last episode. We were a listener pointed this out, and I had mixed it up myself. We were talking about, it was a sports episode, the last episode, and we were talking about Bo Jackson, and and I talked about Grandmama in relation to Bo Jackson, and of course that's wrong. Larry Johnson is Grandmama.
Okay.
And Bo Jackson.
Those were Nike ads?
I I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there was some kind of shoe. You
yeah,
know?
I have vague recollection of this, too.
You know, I don't know, Pro Wings, maybe?
Did you, on the topic of Bo Jackson, I don't know if you've watched these ESPN 30 for 30.
It's funny, somebody else, one of the guests, yeah, last week mentioned them, yeah.
Yes, anyway, his Bo Jackson, a big part of Bo Jackson's legend was how good his character was in Tecmo Bowl.
Okay, really? Was that in the 30 by 30?
Yeah, in the 30 for 30.
They talked about Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, they do. There's a really, little spot in it, which is really, really cool, where they a lot of people theorize a big part of why Bo Jackson was so legendary. I mean, in part because of his amazing performance, but also because his Tecmo Bowl character was way better than everybody else's.
Well, that's
so
funny.
It put him on a higher pedestal.
Well, you know who put, the same thing NBA Jam did that for me for
Charles Barkley.
No, not well, not
Scottie
Charles
Pippen.
Scottie Pippen.
I'm thinking of overpowered NBA Jam characters.
Well, Scottie Pippen was better than anybody, mm-hmm. you know, on the Bulls, you know? Yeah, Scottie Pippen, right? Yeah,
right.
I'm thinking of Scottie. That's the right one. He was on the Bulls, right?
Yeah, he was. And
Scottie Pippen's thing was his meter was up on everything. He had the best
meter
steps,
was crazy.
You know? So it was just like, why wouldn't you pick him?
He was no Bill Clinton, but.
That's right, yeah. So Bo Knows is Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. That was his thing.
Sure.
It was Bo Knows, you know. And I'm sorry to the listener. I'm not mentioning your name. Who I forgot. A listener pointed that out. And so I just wanted to correct that error about connecting Bo Jackson and Grandmama. That's very much a Larry Johnson thing.
Sure. Brent, okay. You're a brave man addressing listener corrections on the air.
This happens every episode. There's always a mistake or
really?
Two.
People quibble about something?
There's
that
a thing,
doesn't sound right.
Well, on the internet, there's this thing called comments, and people they write comments about stuff. There's this thing called the internet, and it's like this thing that is it's sort of like a virtual world with stuff on it, you know? And there's comments, there's also links, and there's websites.
Hyperlinks?
Sometimes, yeah. There's embedding.
Wow. I'm learning so much.
I know. I mean, and Rob is missing out on so much.
Yeah, this is very educational.
I'm like looking over at this empty chair, looking towards Rob, and he's not there.
Yeah.
I do feel so inadequate without Rob right now, to be honest, actually, you know?
I mean, I hope I can pick up some of the slack, you know?
Well,
I mean, if
yeah,
you need
you
me
know.
For anything, I mean, I'm an experienced broadcaster. Just, you know, you can alley-oop something to me, and I'll kind of spud web in the basket if I can.
Can you maybe, like, take off your shirt and lift some weights a little bit to
sure.
sort of fill the
yeah,
plate.
Yeah. Anything you need. Anything you need.
You know, Rob, as you know, is he's a real
yeah, a fitness
he's a
nut.
Fit man.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fit young man.
Sure, sure. And I'm, you know, a little broader than he is.
I mean, you're looking real clean cut these days,
thanks,
I gotta say.
Thanks.
I mean, when you walked in, I was like, ooh,
you did
who's
mention,
this?
You did mention
I said,
that.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
I said, who's this sharp young man
sure.
coming into the studio today? So look, so this is it's episode 140. Mm-hmm. Every 10 episodes, we do a free play episode. So there's no topic.
Awesome.
We just play whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And because Rob is not here today, I've selected more tracks than usual. Usually we hear about 15 tracks. I've selected about 13.
Excellent.
Not about. I selected exactly 13. And so we're just going to get right into it, if
Let's
you don't
do it.
Mind.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
I know that you like... I know I wanted you to be on the show because one time we had a conversation, you seemed to know more about video game music than the average person, and by average person I mean you knew more than the Super Mario Brothers theme song and the Zelda theme song.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And you were humming to me some Mega Man tracks, which is still pretty mainstream.
Yeah,
it's still a little more than.
I mean, it's no, you know, it's no Clash at Demon Head or Legendary Wings.
Exactly, yeah.
But
so.
Yeah.
But the fact that you even said Clash of Demon Head and Legendary Wings is...
I'm trying to go deep for this show. I think I know what the Legacy Music Hour audience wants.
But you know what? We also had a nice time in Portland playing some games together, actually.
We did,
some
yeah,
arcade
yeah.
games. We played Smash TV together.
At the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, they have a lovely arcade over there in Portland called Ground Control.
Yeah.
And for the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, they kind of open it up and give free play to all the comedians for a few hours. Yeah, played some rounds of Smash TV. That game holds up. I love that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, it steals blatantly from RoboCop. The host really reminds me, But I guess we had a free play there, and now the free play carries... The tradition continues.
Yeah, sure.
And
I like that.
Have you been playing anything lately, by the way?
Yeah, you know, in the retro space, this is a little more current than I think you guys usually get, but there's a game called Guardian Heroes.
Yeah, so that's part of the... I mean, that started as Gunstar Heroes on Genesis, as Treasure.
Yeah, it is a Treasure game. I don't know how it relates to Gunstar Heroes, because this is a kind of a sword and sorcery fantasy world.
Is it really?
Yeah, kind of what it is. It was originally a Sega Saturn game, and when people talk about great games of the Saturn, not a lot comes up. But
I've heard the Saturn's a really underrated. Maybe I'm thinking of Dreamcast actually.
Yeah, people love Dreamcast, but as far as the Saturn is, I think pretty widely considered to be a letdown. But people always talked about Guardian Heroes, and I'm a big Treasure fan. I really like Treasure games. I had never gotten a chance to play it.
Treasure's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really excited. Xbox Live has a remixed version, an HD version you can download, and it was $2 the other day on Xbox. So what it is, it's a really interesting game. It's a beat 'em up. But it happens on three planes, so you can't, the gameplay is a little like a Streets of Rage or Final Fight, but you kind of move between these three planes, kind of like those original Fatal Fury games.
Yeah.
And there are Street Fighter-like inputs to do spells and stuff like that, and there's a kind of RPG-like leveling system, so it's a really weird, eccentric mishmash of games. And great music, too. It's got that
I have a feeling the music is by Kazuo Hanzawa, but I'm not sure who did the music to Gunstar Heroes. And I think they're related.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but Kazuo Hanzawa is just a super interesting, progressive video game composer. He's my favorite. He's one of my favorites. And he did Gunstar Heroes and he did this game called Alien Soldier for Genesis.
Mega Drive. Sure.
And the music is just he's so awesome. And I think he did Guardian Heroes too. I think. I'm not sure.
It reminded me of when I've been listening to it is I would call it that kind of jazz fusion that Japanese developers get really obsessed with. Like the music.
We'll be hearing some of that today, actually.
Yeah. Great. It's like the music to Marvel vs. Capcom, which is kind of famously eccentric, weird music. Character selection screen of that has this kind of jazz fusion riff.
I'm not familiar with
that. A female vocalist going, "Let me take you for a ride. Let me take you for a ride." It's very weird and very delightful, super catchy.
I love jazz fusion stuff. Yeah. And that's why I love Japanese stuff,
Sure.
But all right, let's get into a track.
Please.
And so I'm going to just fade this music out here. I'm going to start things off here with, it's just so weird actually that Rob's not here. I'm going to start things off here with a track from a Game Boy game, a Japanese release only. It's called Power Pro GB. This is a baseball game and of an unknown composer, but the company is Konami. And I don't know if but Konami is the best, basically.
Music-wise?
I mean, per,
in general, pound Konami
for pound,
is.
Pound for pound, okay. They are, yeah. And so we're going to hear the title screen music. This is music from Power Pro GB for the Game Boy. This is music from Power Pro's GP, or just Power Pro GB, not GP, GB for the Game Boy. This is title screen.
Nice. Maybe it's just because you said Konami at the top. It got me thinking about those old Castlevania games for the Game Boy. Those had really cool music. I don't know, and this has a kind of propulsive quality to it that I think that those games really have.
All of that. I think propulsive is a good word.
A word?
I'm doubting myself. It's a good word for Konami because there is a sort of, Konami has a driving quality to it, I think. All the Konami games have that sort of moving, there's a moving sound to it.
Sure, they are hard games and they are games that force you to keep moving and jumping and frustrate you and stuff like that.
And, and this is just the title screen.
Yeah, right? Man, this isn't the actual game. Japanese developed baseball games were so kind of wonderful and strange. This comes up a lot on my podcast, but the game Baseball Stars for the NES.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't know.
Terrific game. It's an SNK game, I believe.
Yeah, okay, SNK.
And, you know, the teams are so weird. It's like the Tokyo Ninjas versus the Lovely Ladies. And Lovely Ladies are an all-female team.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And what I remember about those is in the player stats, it's sure to mention the blood type. Because I guess in Japan, your blood type is supposed to be some sort of window into what kind of
performance you'll give. Your soul.
Your soul. I would be really interested to play this game.
Yeah, it's. I think these Power Pro games, that they kind of, at least the box art, the characters look kind of cute and stuff, you know? It's sort of these cute guys playing baseball. They go kind of, they're, you know, kind of small little tykes.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
like
if you look at a modern sports game, you know, it's so hyper-realistic. I mean, you could argue that the characters in, you know, NBA 2K or Madden are the most realistic-looking video game characters.
And those characters are cute in a different way.
They are, exactly. Yeah. They look like your favorite sports millionaires, who are adorable. But yeah, it would be interesting to see a, you know, cartoon-themed or anime-themed sports game, and that's just not something that would fly these days. Anyway,
this track is so good, I think.
It's intense. Yeah, it's great.
I love stuff like that. Those little
right.
trills.
Embellishments, you know? Like a wind chime. Yeah. Sure.
Anyway, Rob, what do you think?
No, good.
Good point.
That's
a good point. It's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, there's part of that I disagree with, but I see where you're coming from, Rob.
I like this part too, right here. Dun, dun. I love how the bass kicks in.
Sure.
Anyway, good track. Good track. Good track. All right. So next up, we usually take turns, Robin.
Right. You guys go back and forth, but.
But no. Okay. So
I mean, I do have loaded up on my phone some of the songs from the soundtrack of the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater. So if we want to listen to some Goldfinger, if we want to listen to some Primus, I've got it on my phone.
Wow, okay.
But again, that's a little later than you guys usually go. So.
Well, you know, I mean, whatever. Maybe, you know, Legacy Music Hour after. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry that you're not getting the full Legacy Music Hour effect, you know, as a guest, you know, but all right, maybe next time, maybe next year.
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm going to move on to a game called Asterix. This is a Nintendo game. It's a European release only.
Oh, sure. The European comic strip Viking character, Asterix, right?
Yeah, you got
Asterix
it.
Asterix the Gaul.
Very good. Very good. The Gaul. Very good.
Sure.
Very good.
I mean, I only knew about him because of the video games. It was one of those weird...
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I'm like, who is this cartoon character? I'm aware of all the video games. I only learned later that he was like a European favorite. He's like a Tintin or something.
Yeah, that, right. There's a, well... This is composed by a composer named Alberto Jose Gonzalez, who we did an interview with a couple episodes ago, and we did a focus on him. And I thought that we had played this track on the podcast before, so I didn't play it on that focus, but this should have been played on the focus because it's a good track, and we didn't play anything from this game, which I think is actually one of his favorite games that he worked on, or I think he said it was one of the soundtracks he was most proud of. So I felt like
can you tell me a couple more games on his resume?
Oh yes, of course. He did a lot of these games that were based on European cartoons. You know, so he did some Tintin games,
sure,
and a lot of them were Game Boy games or Game Boy adaptations of the Nintendo counterpart or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he did I should know of these now, but like Spyro, you know about Spyro?
I don't know about Spyro.
Or he did. Oh, he did like Smurfs games. A lot of Smurfs games.
Oh, okay,
actually.
Cool. That's very
Smurfs,
European.
He did Smurfs for the Nintendo.
Okay.
And he also did the Game Boy version. He did a game called Smurfs Nightmare.
Okay.
Which has some good music.
Sounds
on that.
Sounds terrifying.
And he had he did what was the, there's an odd. Autofantin, something or other.
Okay.
I don't know. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of am getting an idea of his genre.
He did what is it? What's it called? Yeah, Otto's Autofantin, Baby Bruno's Alptraum.
don't know. So European. Yeah. That's great.
Asterix and Obelix, who's, I guess, another character involved with Asterix. Hugo, you know Hugo?
I don't know Hugo.
Hugo, that's another. And he did some other games, too, that weren't cartoon-based, but like Sea Battle, which is basically a battleship, and he did a V Rally Championship Edition.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. But, you know, these are all like European games. These are all didn't come out.
Maybe like
you know.
Codemasters games or something, huh?
I'm not sure what nationality Codemasters is.
Yeah.
You know, I think they could be American, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know specifically.
But they were actually all Bit Managers games.
Okay.
That was the company that he worked for at that time. You know. So anyway, and a lot of those games were actually they were contracted by Infogrames.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that company.
I don't know Infogrames.
French video game company.
These all sound like places that like Jason Bourne would have to go to pick up a passport.
Yeah, well he did actually. I don't know if you've seen the Bourne legacy.
I missed that one.
The Bourne legacy.
There's a lot of him going to old European video game companies.
Yeah. Now let's see here, where am I in my thing? So we're gonna hear something from Asterix, which the reason we didn't play it the last time was because it was Rob had played something from the Game Boy version of this mm-hmm. game, which has a different soundtrack, and he played Rome from the Game Boy version. And when I had looked up to see if we'd played this, I'm going to play Rome also, but it's a different track in the Nintendo version, and so it's Act 5 Rome. Should have played it before a couple episodes, so I wanted to make sure to play
sure,
it on this replay.
Sure, you're doing some retcon. I get it.
So this is for Alberto Jose Gonzalez, who is a fine user of our podcast. We call our listeners users.
Sure.
And
because the podcast is a tool.
Yeah, exactly. this is Act 5 Rome from Asterix for the Nintendo. This is music from Asterix for the Nintendo. Do you think that Asterix is actually pronounced differently?
Boy,
Asterix. I think maybe Asterix.
I'm just doing my general foreign guy voice.
Oh,
Asterix.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the game. music is like that of disco.
So this is Act 5 Rome.
I should say my Saturday Night Live auditions never go well.
Oh,
just thought I would throw that out
look,
there.
If I was Lorne Michaels, I would have cast you immediately just
right.
now. again, this is from composer Alberto Jose Gonzalez. And I just, you know, what I love about this composer is that he just really comes up with some really catchy melodies. And,
yeah.
They're just, you know, really just kind of just solid melodies that really get stuck in your head. I love this, yeah.
Yeah, I guess two things came to mind while I was listening to this. I guess, one, not having played the game, I would guess that this is from an underwater level. It has that kind of bubbly, floaty feel to it.
You know, you say bubbly, and I think common in a lot of the Western composers is this sort of this thing called the... I refer to it as the arpeggio effect. I mean, I didn't come up with that term, but I've heard it used before, and it's sort of they try to sort of create the illusion of chords, you know, by playing a bunch of notes really close to each other. So you hear that sort of brum 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 brum, and that I guess has a bubbly sound to it.
Oh, interesting.
That it's common with a lot of Western composers, and you hear a lot of like Western video game tracks that sound like that, and a lot of that is kind of coming from the sort of Commodore 64 sort of school of thought when it comes to composing, I think, you know, which was a lot of European composers. You know?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And I guess the thought number two I had is that if this was like a produced beat, I would think that it would go to one of those hip-hop songs about how great summer is.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, I can't think of a lot of examples off the top of my head, but, you know, one of those songs where the video is at a barbecue and there's some lowriders. Like, you could do some sort of rap over this about how great all that stuff is.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's a neat point. You should put that to test, actually.
Yeah?
You should do that.
I think you should
write a rap for this eventually.
I mean, probably there's probably
summer.
More qualified people than I to do that.
I think you're ready for Saturday Night Live. I think you're ready for the rap summer jam.
I am. My career is going to take off after this.
I think so. Actually, this is a lot of things are launching out of this episode. But I like this melody a lot. Well, it was just the tail end of it just now. But
yeah,
I like that. You know, start the track over again. Da, da, da. Da, 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 da. It's good.
Yeah.
Also, I like the very end of it where there's a sort of like echo effect that happens.
Yeah.
Well, I won't wait for the whole thing again.
It was so interesting compared to that first track we heard. The other one was was getting you amped up, and it seems like this one is to relax you.
Oh, it's chill zone.
Yeah. Well, we're totally in the chill zone. Then we're just going to hang out here in the chill zone, eat some bananas, and wait to come down.
So the next track is going to be from a game called Stinger. Mm-hmm. Do you know this one? This is a Nintendo game. This is just, you know, was
straight up American Nintendo game, or a game we could get in America.
Yes. In Japan is known as Twin B, you know.
Oh, this is another Konami game, right?
Yes, it is.
I know that the Twin B character pops up in a lot of like weird, like he'll be an icon in a lot of Konami games. That's the only time I know him. It's kind of like a Gradius like game, right?
It's a cute 'em up.
Okay,
if you know the term, it's like shoot 'em up games, but with cute stuff.
Maybe like Fantasy Zone is another good.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Twin B is the name of the ship, which is I think. There's like Twin B and there's Gwyn B.
Okay. Who's the girl version, right?
Yeah, I think. And then there's a baby one, too. There's like, it's two kids and then there's a baby.
Okay.
I should know this, but I think it's the name of the ship, I think. The ship is kind of, it's like a regular sort of jet or whatever, but it has arms
like
and
boxing
fists.
Glove
yeah,
arms.
It has
like
fists, and you can punch people as
no,
well.
No, you
shoot,
know, it's so weird. I feel like I can see the character so clearly, but I have never played one of these games. But I just know it from being an icon and kind of a maybe like a mascot for Konami for a while.
Well, it's one of their their mascots, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a game. Actually, you know, I'm going to play the track and I'll talk more about Twin B.
Right.
This is the composer is Kiyohi Sada, credited as Charlie Sada. And I didn't do this on purpose, but on accident, three of my tracks today happened to be from this composer, Kiyohi Sada. It's a little mini focus on Kiyohi Sada, but this is called Maxed Out. So this is when your power-ups are maxed out, I guess.
Okay.
And that's the music you hear here. So music from Stinger for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Thank you. from Stinger, from composer Kiyohei Sada, and this is Maxed Out. And just a little more about Twinbee stuff. So there's this game called Parodius.
A parody of Gradius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
And it's made by Konami.
Yeah.
And you can play with the Vic Viper ship or whatever you want, spaceship. I guess it's a spaceship.
Sure.
But you can also be one of the Twinbee characters, and you could be Pentaro, who's this penguin character that's sort of a mascot for Konami as well. And also this octopus character that was also a Konami character. And so, that you can play as Twinbee, that kind of that was obviously like an important character to Konami because that you could be one of them in Parodius, or you can be Twinbee.
There's a similar thing going on for the PS3. There's a great game that I really liked last year called PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and it was all the PlayStation characters kind of fighting each other Smash Brothers style.
Yeah.
And one of the characters is Toro, who is like Sony Japan's mascot, and he's this kind of cute anime cat.
Toro.
It has like no meaning to Americans, but I guess very big deal in Japan that they included him. So this kind of seems like a similar thing.
There's a lot. Yeah,
to us, it's just cute characters, but
right. Well, and actually, Twinbee, they're not just all shoot 'em up games too. Yeah. There's actually I actually have a couple Twinbee games myself. Mm-hmm. I pop in Twinbee, which is a Super Famicom. Shoot 'em up game.
Yeah.
But then I also have this other one called Rainbow Belt Adventures, which is a side scroller with the Twinbee characters.
Okay.
So they kind of took them. Anyway,
are they good games?
Pop and Twinbee's good, and the music is real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this. That this is for a specialized event in the game. Like it definitely
maxed out this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this game. Yeah. I love this second part right here. This is my favorite. Yeah. I really like that melody there in the second part. But it sounds like Maxed Out kind of.
Sure, totally.
But yeah, my favorite part is that second part. It's so good.
I wish I could hum it, but one of my favorite pieces of specialized in-game event music is the music that plays in Bonk's Adventure when you eat the giant meat
and you become
invincible for a brief period of time.
I just beat that game recently, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Love that right there, yeah. I'm trying to remember what the music, how that goes when you get mad with the
meat. It goes dun 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 and then something happens. It has a...
Isn't it funny that he gets mad when he eats meat because he's a vegetarian?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So weird.
Someone, the character, forced him.
Very progressive.
Well, he's actually Muslim.
Yeah.
So that goes against the Quran.
That's right.
But yeah, so you're saying that Bonk's Adventure was a cautionary tale that the developers were maybe vegetarians and they were pushing their agenda with the game.
Progressive.
Very. Ahead of its time.
Spanky's Quest we'll be hearing from next. This is a suggestion from the listener, from the user, Will. And this is a Super Nintendo game also composed by Kiyohei Sada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is our second Kiyohei Sada.
Yeah.
Kiyohei Sada, by the way, also did, I think he did the sound effects to Contra on Nintendo.
Really?
I think.
Hey, I mean, if he is the one who gave us the spreadshot gun sound, like you can basically retire after that. That's an iconic video game sound.
Or the Energy Zone sort of fire sound.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that like a... I don't know.
When those fire bars went over you, you had to duck them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that he kept working after that. That's something you just, like, drop the mic and leave the industry.
Yeah, exactly. We kept doing it.
Yeah.
So, Spanky's Quest, we're going to hear Boss.
Okay.
We're going to hear the Boss music.
Great.
This definitely has, this has kind of got a jazz fusion-y sound to it. So, here we go. Music from Spanky's Quest. We'll be right back. from Spanky's Quest, music composed by Kyohei Sada, and this is the boss music. And, you know, I take it back with the jazz fusion. It's just more funky.
I was thinking 80s buddy cop movie. Could be in the, like, end credits to Tango and Cash.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know, they high five, the newspaper headline comes up, Tango and Cash are back, and then this music plays.
This is their party music.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. It's good.
Yeah, I could see, like, to this music, tipping my shades and looking at, like, a hot beach babe who's walking by.
It's good, it's good.
Yeah.
It's, like, very, it's funky and the melody is smooth, you know? It's funky and smooth at the same time.
It's nice, it's a nice combo. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move on to a Japanese-only release for the Super Famicom, which is the Japanese Super Nintendo. This is a horse racing game.
Okay. A genre that didn't really catch on here in the U.S.
Exactly.
We were not nuts about horse racing games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Horse racing games or pachinko games.
Right.
There's tons on Super Nintendo. On the Japanese Super Nintendo.
I believe it.
Actually, there's tons of Mahjong games, too.
That came
out. But anyway, we did a whole episode on that. Really good episode, too, actually. Anyway, Classic Road 2 is the sequel to Classic Road.
All your favorite characters are back.
Yeah.
All your favorite jockeys.
All your favorite horses.
Yeah. The brown horse. The black horse.
And so the composer on this is Hayato Matsuo, who... This guy, we're going to do a focus on him in a later episode. He's so good, this composer. Did the music to a Genesis game called Master of Monsters.
Oh, and, yeah. Sure. I do know that game. That's like a weird real-time strategy game, right?
So, yeah, that's right.
It has
yeah.
real-time strategy elements to it. Yeah. I remember renting that as a kid. I would say that maybe the Genesis is the system I know the most about.
Yeah.
I remember renting that and just being so... frustrated with it.
Yeah.
But in a way that's like, this game is better than me. Like, why am I not getting this? It's like a, you know, cute girl you feel like you can't talk to. It was like, it wasn't frustrated, it was aspirational.
Right.
You
want to live up to that game.
Yeah, exactly. I want this game to like
me. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, the music is so incredible to that game in itself, but the music to this Classic Road 2 is really good too.
Okay.
And, so, yeah, we're just going to hear Spring. There's different seasons, and we're going to hear Spring. And we'll be hearing from this in the future because a lot of great tracks on this. The music is really, it's orchestral and really just, I mean, for a little, you know, kind of what you'd think of like as a dinky little horse racing game.
Right.
It's really, the music is so good to this. I mean, it's really just, I mean, I feel like this music just was so overlooked because of the, it's a little horse racing game, you know? But anyway, so this is Spring from Classic Road 2, music by Hayato Matsuo. Music from Classic Road 2, music by Hayato Matsuo.
Clearly to accompany the sport of kings.
Oh, okay.
That's what they call horse racing.
Okay, yes. Well, there you go. Spring is the name of this track. And just, like I said, very kind of sophisticated, and it's like orchestral. And
yeah, you kind of think of those kind of niche sports games as being... niche and kind of junkware a little bit, you know, they're just kind of disposable games for a, you know, small audience. But yeah, that is unusually lovely music.
I mean, you know, it kind of just reminds me of Claude Bolling or something, you know, like, do you know the composer Claude Bolling? He's a French composer. He did the music of Borsellino, and he did the suite for flute and piano, but it's just good. It's really good, you know? Just want to hear this part again here. I love this part right here coming up. good. So good. I think that's just very good.
It is very good. So, I agree with you.
I just think that this is like very lovely.
Sure. Yeah. No, it is so pastoral. I mean, I feel like, you know, video game music has the reputation of being just all intense and to pump you up. But yeah, some of it is really soothing or fun or, you know, jaunty.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't, video game music doesn't usually get a lot of credit for that.
I love that there's oboe in there.
It's a nice oboe. That's a nice oboe.
Very nice. Very nice. I love it. I love it. It's so good. A lot of the tracks on the game, really good. All right, so Ease 5. Do you know anything about the Ease series?
Oh, yeah. I had Ease 3 for the Genesis. They're kind of these side-scrolly role-playing games.
I haven't played any of them, but yeah. I'm familiar with the music to them, and this one's the Super Nintendo one. Ease 3.
Maybe that's what I had.
Ease 3 came out on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Oh, okay.
And you probably played it on Genesis.
Yeah.
Ease 5. The full title is Ease 5. Ushinawareta Tsunano Miyako Keffin, and the composers on this are Miyako Ishikawa. Who I think did the music on part 3 as well. Naoki Kaneda and Satoshi Orai. Actually, there's two more. Atsushi Shirakawa and Masaru Nakajima. Okay? So, big team here.
Sure.
And we're going to hear In the Cradle. And this is another kind of nice and smooth track from Ease 5 for the Super Famicom. Ushinawareta Tsunano Miyako Keffin. And this is In the Cradle.
Yeah, you know, JRPGs, I think, something they do really well, and what I would suspect this is an example of, is, you know, since they all kind of follow that hero's journey story, there's always a... you know, our hero at home, or our hero starting the journey. They're in the Shire before they go to Mordor. That stuff always has really lovely music. Like, all the Zelda games, he starts in the village, and there's always really beautiful music. I think Ocarina of Time is some of the most famous video game music, like just the, you know, the Deku Village. And, this seems like that's... I mean, this really evokes starting an RPG.
You're thinking... He's got to leave his baby or something.
Sure, yeah. There's the baby's there, mom,
or something, yeah.
Sick grandma.
Or yeah, maybe it's his little brother or something.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe a thriving magazine business. I don't know. I don't know what this character's up to.
Right. But I love I love this part right here. I like how there's these like kind of grace notes in the flute part. You know, there's... you know, it's like these, I don't know, I want to kind of highlight that part one more time, but there's this sort of grace notes, you know? Right here. I love that.
Life is good, but things are about to go drastically wrong.
Yeah,
for this character.
You can tell the sinister
force lurking behind this.
Okay, so moving on.
Fantasy Star Games, those all had great beginning music. Anyway, I'm just naming JRPGs at this point.
Okay, so here's a game. This is a board game. There's a lot of board games, actually, that came out in Japan.
Okay.
They're board games.
Yeah, you know? A genre that didn't catch on too well over here.
Yeah, like video game board games. Well, I guess Mario Party did at one point.
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe that's our biggest video game board game.
And I guess, you know, Anticipation was kind of a board game. You know, for Nintendo? And
I don't remember.
It's kind of like a Pictionary situation. Yeah. You know? Well, anyway, this game is called Kishin Doji Zenki Tenshi Meido. This is a Japanese release for the Super Famicom. The music is composed by Goji Tsuno. And it's based on a manga, actually, also. It's called Zenki, I think, is the name of the manga. So we're going to hear the ending track. And this is a track that Rob would just love this track. Uh-huh. I know he would love this track. So
we'll definitely make sure to give
him some space on this
one. Comment,
yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
Because he's going to have a lot to say.
No, this is such a Rob track. You know? And the users will know. When you hear this, you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is Rob.
What makes a good Rob track, would you say?
I don't know. He likes stuff that's kind of sexy, I guess.
Okay,
and
all right.
He likes stuff that's sort of...
He does strike me as kind of a sensual guy.
He is very sensual. Mm-hmm. I can just tell you from personal experience, he's very...
Sure.
That's why you don't get the full... You're not getting the full...
Right.
This is pleasant,
but it's not sensual.
It's not hitting you in that other spot.
That special zone.
But I'm doing my best here, okay?
And you're doing great. Don't feel like you have to be... Just be you. Do you, Brent.
Thank you. This is the ending track. This Rob is going to love the track. Here we go. This is music from Kishin Doji Zenki, Tenshi Meido, music by Goji Tsuno, and this is the ending music.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to keep going back to 80s buddy cop movies, but I don't know, I'm seeing Tango and Cash again. This is before, this is like, you know, kind of two-thirds of the way through the movie where they're sneaking through a warehouse, they're looking for some coke, they're looking for, I don't, you know, for the drug lord. This is like a sneaky type vibe.
I could actually see this as the credits music to a an 80s cop movie.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's got that sort of, you know, credits music. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, you know, it also,
it's
the other game
dark.
It reminded me of is the Alien 3 game for the Sega Genesis. I don't know if you ever played that, but it is a very good job of being dark
it, yeah.
and sinister. Mm-hmm. Not a great game, but, you know, certainly in creating mood, I just remember that it made me feel like watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have this kind of spacey, sinister, you know, bleak music, and I don't know, mm-hmm. this kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, this is kind of sexy, kind of dark.
Yeah,
you know, I love the beginning. Listen to the beginning. First of all, I love this sort of synth bass right here.
Sure.
Boom, 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 boom. And then you start to hear this like other bass noise come in at one point.
You spy a mysterious woman from across the room.
And I just love how the beat picks up, too.
Yeah.
I just want to do that, and then we'll move on. But listen to that bass thing. That other bass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just really cool. It's cool that there's two basses, too.
Sure.
There's like this higher
double,
register
double
bass.
This is done by the Stoner Jam Band of video game musicians.
So it's cool because it's the beat right now is kind of this slower beat, sort of. Then it kicks in around here, I guess. That's cool, right?
It's great.
And I don't know. I just think that Rob would just be totally into this.
I think,
you know?
Rob would be into that.
Rob,
thoughts? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thought of that. Hadn't thought of that. Okay.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, good. I think this is so Rob.
I mean, there's no need to swear, Rob, but yes, I mean, I agree.
And this is a clean podcast, Rob.
Yeah, come on, Rob.
You know this.
Rob, don't throw around that language.
Oh, I like this part a lot, by the way. Dun, 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 dun. And there's the other voice going.
How inspired do you think video game music of this era was by movie scores? Do you feel
I think a lot. Yeah, probably, right? I don't know. It's got to be, right?
Some of it sounds more filmic than others. I mean,
yeah,
some of it does
true.
Sound
yes.
like it's
some of it sounds just
classical
more,
music, and some of it is.
Well, some
just
of it just sounds like video game music. There's
right,
no other
yeah,
sound
yeah.
to it. Yeah. This game came out in '96, by the way.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the music, the technology is getting a little more sophisticated. So yeah, I think maybe people
are. Oh well,
are,
the sound design on this game, especially, is just really good.
Sure.
I mean, it's really some of the best sound design I've heard. All right. Oh, and speaking of sound design, this next track is really pretty cool.
Okay.
Streets of Rage 3.
Oh, okay. Here we are. Yeah, great. This is a fave of mine, for sure.
Part 3?
Part 3 is great. That's
really?
That's the first one where you could be the kangaroo, right?
I've never played any of the Streets of Rage.
Oh,
actually.
They are so fun. They're great. Yeah, uh-huh. They're really terrific.
Yeah, and you're more of a Genesis guy than
I am more of a Genesis guy.
Well, you know, Rob is, that's what he's all about.
Okay, so I'm glad I can come here and fill that void.
Yeah, but it's too bad you guys can't have that.
Oh, I know, that Genesis,
you know,
connection, yeah.
But
that's another 80s cop movie, the Genesis connection.
The Genesis connection.
These are really fun games, and they got weird and eccentric as the series
went
on.
Well, that's the thing. The third, a lot of people don't like the soundtrack to the third one.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's the best one, because the music gets a lot more progressive and experimental,
sure.
I think. And, you know, the track we're going to hear, my favorite tracks are actually the ones that are, there's two composers on this, Yuzo Koshiro, and he's known as the Streets of Rage guy, but the other composer who worked on part 2 and part 3 with him is Motohiro Kawashima, and my favorite tracks are from that composer. We've already heard one of them on the podcast before. It's called The Poets. The one we're going to hear now is called Moon, and it's just very, it just sounds like really kind of intricate electronic music.
Yeah.
You know? I think Streets of Rage 3 for me is my favorite Streets of Rage musically. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that.
Very excited to hear this.
Yeah. And even the Yuzo Koshiro tracks, he was doing something, he was doing some kind of new wave composing. I forgot what it's called, but anyway, this is Moon from Streets of Rage 3, composer Motohiro Kawashima. Streets of Rage.
I mean, so Genesis.
To me, this is goes beyond. I mean, well, so Streets of Rage 3, Motohiro Kawashima. This is Moon.
Sure.
This track is crazy.
It is. It's nuts. I mean, it's such a good example of how a Genesis game felt different than a Super Nintendo game.
Well, it's because of that. They use synthesizers.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are, you know, the reason that Genesis games are darker than Super Nintendo games is just they didn't have as many colors, so they incorporated that into their vibe, you know? And it seems like maybe there's something going on musically there as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, just listen to it. It's just... My question is,
how was the Genesis sound hardware different than the Super Nintendo sound hardware?
Well, the Super Nintendo is all sampled sound.
Okay.
So... they sampled real instruments and sometimes they sampled synthesizers, but they oftentimes did actually. But all of that is recorded sound you're hearing.
Okay.
You know, it's being kind of composed live, but it's all playing recorded stuff. So the Super Nintendo stuff has a little bit more of a hollower sound sometimes.
Yeah.
But with the Genesis, it's all live. The sound is being generated live. It's not recorded sound. There's basically a synthesizer in the Genesis.
Okay.
So you're hearing it being generated live. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the music sounds a lot more, I don't know. I'm trying to touch something. Here.
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's
tactile.
It's touchable.
Something.
There's more weight to it because of that.
The sound in this that I think is so quintessentially Genesis is wah, wah, wah.
It's that synthesizer.
Sure.
You know, it's an FM synthesizer, you know?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, boy. These were really fun games. I mean, they started pretty normal. I mean, the first Streets of Rage game is just a Double Dragon ripoff or a Final Fight ripoff. But then they got, you know, they got so much personality and so much weirdness by the end. Like, you know, there was a kangaroo and there was a kid on rollerblades and you had all these weird moves. So, yeah, this definitely, like, kind of speaks to how the game got more unusual and left of center as it went on.
And also listen to how it just sounds like really... kind of progressive electronic music.
Sure, you know,
it sounds
totally.
It sounds like Trent Reznor or something.
Right,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know?
That's a good comparison.
Listen to this. There's so much going on.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, definitely Nine Inch Nails was a thing when this game was made. So, I mean, it seems...
Listen to that. Like...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that bass, too.
Right.
But my favorite... Actually, my favorite part is the very sort of end before the loop, you know?
Yeah.
It just gets so cool at the end. I just... I may actually just fast forward to that part because it's so... That part's so awesome. Let's just hear that part real quick. Coming up here. I mean, that's just awesome,
it's
right
great.
There.
That
yeah, is
yeah,
so
for
cool.
Sure.
I think that's so awesome. That this, you know, and it's this isn't a terribly melodic track, you know, and I'd usually go more for the melody driven
sure.
pieces, but this might be one of, this might be my favorite track because it's just so rich and crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really neat, and yeah. It really, like, I mean, I think all of those beat 'em up games, what they were trying to do was, you know, whether it be a Double Dragon or a Final Fight or a whatever, those all those 10 Jalico games that came out, was they were trying to, was is that how you pronounce it, Jalico?
Yeah, Jalico.
Okay.
Jalico. I say Jalico.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It's Jalico. Jalico. And
we were very in touch with your Hispanic roots.
Yeah, well, I like to call it Jalico because,
okay.
Yeah, I am a, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah exactly. But I want to, you know, I've got that, you know, Latino pride, you know.
Right, of course.
But no, the, yeah. No, but Jalico, there's actually some of those games have them pronouncing, there's in their, when the title screen or the logo,
yeah.
The logo screen, they have a voice saying Jalico.
Oh, you know? Funny.
Yeah. But the Jalico, there's those Jalico games like, Street brawl or whatever,
yeah,
or something
it's
like
brawl, rival
brawl, rival turf is
rival
one of them.
Turf,
and then
where every bad guy had a pipe,
yeah,
and you grabbed pipes from everyone, and just
and there are other ones, but and they're all came out as separate games in
yeah.
the United States, but they were actually all part of the same trilogy in Japan.
Oh, I
actually.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They were, but yeah, those yeah. Anyway,
yeah, it seems like what all these games were doing was to try and replicate an urban nightmare, kind of the worst idea of what a city is like. Mm. You know, it's just a den of professional wrestlers and you know, trampy women who are trying to kick you in the face. So yeah, I think that definitely this song, and I think Streets of Rage got that vibe better than any of those other
this
games.
Track. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Love this right here. So cool.
It's
that
cool.
is so good.
It's a good
I mean,
song.
That's just that really just impresses me big time.
Where
actually.
Where do you guys as a show stand on remakes and reboots and HDifying of all these old games?
Remakes. I mean, I like the remake of Boy and His Blob. I have it.
Okay.
I got
yeah.
it. I liked it. I wasn't crazy.
It's
I didn't love.
Lo-
it's
I
didn't
a
love.
I don't. I didn't play. I have not played the remake, but it's so lovely.
I mean
it's
I don't.
Such a
I,
fun
I don't
looking.
Like. I don't. I like it when they make. No, nah, I don't know. I'm not
yeah.
crazy. I don't know. The new the what's the Mike Tyson? Not Mike Tyson, but just
the
punch out. The new punch
Wii.
Out for Wii.
Yeah.
That was really good. Actually.
Oh, cool.
That
yeah.
Really
I hear people love that game.
But I don't. On the reboot. I don't know. I don't really like reboots of anything. Really,
sure.
in a way. But I guess. You know, I also just I want to hear new music too. I don't like you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear some new jams. You know.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. But some of it's cool. I guess sometimes
yeah.
it's cool. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes not. Like I think the Bionic Commando remix was.
Oh
pretty
yeah,
neat
Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Yeah, Rearmed. Yeah,
yeah that is a very cool game.
And
then, agreed.
I don't know. I did like Boy and His Blob though.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so how about this? Star Tropics 2.
Okay, great.
Zoda's Revenge.
This is the death throes of the NES. This is one of the last, I think this may be the last game released for the NES, right?
I think the last one might have been Wario's Woods,
okay.
I think, but this is in the last year.
Sure.
That definitely.
It's like this Wario's Woods, Mega Man 6 were probably the last three games, right?
I think Mega Man 6 might have come out the year before, I think.
Okay.
I'm not
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
but this is definitely the last year, which is 1994. So Star Tropics 2 Zoda's Revenge, this actually only came out in North America also. This is a North American release
interesting.
Only.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
And
huh.
But still, it was developed by Japanese people.
Huh. Do you know why it didn't come out in Japan?
I know. I don't.
Hmm. Huh.
Maybe they were just two into the Super Nintendo there at that
sure,
point.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
By the way, the
Super we're playing Act Razor.
So this is music composed by Takashi Kumigawa, or Kumagawa, and Yoshio Hirai. Although, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Sure.
And we're going to hear Egypt Overworld, Chapter 3. This has got a fun kind of party vibe mm-hmm. to it, I think. Star Tropics 2, Zoda's Revenge for the Nintendo. Star Tropics 2, Zoda's Revenge, music composed by Takashi Kumigawa and Yoshio Hirai. This is Egypt Overworld, Chapter 3.
It seems like when a game has an overworld and an underworld, or an overworld and like a dungeon, or, you know, there's a map screen uh-huh. and there's a dungeon, it uh-huh. seems like the music for both of those zones needs to have distinctly different feels. I mean, I think Zelda's, you know, one of the best examples of, like, that overworld feels so different than those dungeons. Yeah, this really strikes me as... traveling music. You're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're going to the thing that you're about to do.
I really like the bass on this. You
it's
know?
Nice.
It's just it's really nice. Kind of got a nice kick to it, you know? Let's just check out the bass by itself.
Oh, let's totally check out the bass. Second.
Let's just check out the bass. All right, let me see what we have. I mean, it gets more funky in a bit, yeah, I think. I mean,
it's pretty funky.
There's more to it, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah.
You know, the drums really do add, too, to the kind of... kick to the kick,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That kick.
It is such a, it was such a cool place to, like, it's a cool world to set a game in, you know, with Star Tropics.
I don't know how that happened. But, say that again?
Star Tropics, it's a very cool world to set a game in. I think we didn't, you know, it was super outside the box to do a tropical action RPG. I mean, it's such a weird, move,
right,
but
right.
I loved the first one. I never played the second one, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't play the second one either, actually. Okay, we're going to move on to another Japanese-only release for the Super Famicom.
Mm-hmm.
This came out for something called the Tsufami Turbo, which, there's so many of these add-ons and things I kind of forget now. But I covered this before. I think this was made by Bandai, I think. But it was some sort of, I think it was some sort of add-on for the, I can't remember. I'll have to look it up while the track is playing. But, so this game is called SD Ultra Battle Ultraman Densetsu, and this is based on Ultraman. Do you know Ultraman?
Yeah,
is a Japanese
I do. He's kind of like
character.
A big robot who fights. It's a Godzilla-like.
Yeah,
thing.
And it's actually I don't know how big he is. Actually, I don't know if he's giant.
I think he
or
can
not.
Get
or
giant.
Does
I think,
get
he,
big?
I think
yeah.
he grows from small to giant.
It was a TV show, you know.
And, yeah, yeah. I remember there was a very weird period on the Super Nintendo where Street Fighter had come out in the arcades, but there were no fighting games for home consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of these weird kind of cash-in games came out before Street Fighter. Power Moves is a good example.
Uh-huh.
Fighting Masters for the Genesis. All these weird, not that good, but you know, kind of lovably eccentric fighting games.
Yeah.
And I do remember that I think this Ultraman game came out, which is a fighting game. That maybe would not have come out in the U.S. if not for Street Fighter, and they were just looking for fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember an Ultraman game where you could just play as Ultraman, and it was kind of a bummer.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't play as any of the monsters.
Well, you know. you gotta just you gotta make do with what you get.
Sure. You know, sometimes you just gotta hang out and play Ultraman.
Yeah, you just gotta. So this is music composed by Kiyo Hisada.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group of composers. So this is the third game with Kiyo Hisada on it. Minako Adachi, Akira Shoji, and Kiyoshi Suzuki. And we're going to hear theme of Red King. And by the way, I say Kiyo Hisada, and you think in Konami, but this is not a Konami game. I think this is a Natsume game, I think, because I think he also worked for Natsume. But anyway, this is theme of Red King from SD Ultra Battle Ultraman Densetsu. SD Ultra Battle Ultraman Densetsu. This is theme of Red King.
Here's what I'm thinking this is from, and I know neither of us know this game explicitly, but SD, I think, in the world of anime, is super deformed, right?
That's right,
so
yeah.
So it's the characters with small bodies and big heads?
Yeah, they kind of cutify. I call it cutify.
Yeah,
they kind of cutify these characters. So,
interesting.
This game is probably cute versions of these characters. And
right.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of envisioning a platformer or something like that with
characters. I'm not sure exactly, yeah. But, I think it could be a fighting game.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. But but this is, the music's definitely kind of quirky and it kind of fits that super deformed
vibe.
I think, you know. But I like this part a lot too. I like the timpanis, you know, there's like timpanis in this, you know. You know what I mean?
It's nice.
I like this, the beginning part, too.
It's probably because he worked for the company, but this seems like it's from a Konami game. It kind of has that quality
to
it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right, next up, another Japanese. Sorry with all the Japanese stuff.
That's
okay.
It's,
you know, but hey, you're learning, right?
Sure, I'm absolutely learning.
I'll tell you this, you will definitely relate to the a track coming up in
okay.
a little bit, actually.
Okay.
This is a Japanese only release for the Super Famicom. This is from Hyoden Mamonotachi To no Chikai. I think this is a role playing game. This is music composed by Motoi Sakuraba, Shinji Tamura, and there's two more. Ryota Furuya and Hiroya Hatsushiba. Okay.
Okay.
And we're going to hear Miracle Shot. I think this is somewhere later in the game.
Okay.
And I think it's a part of the game where you need to, you know,
pull off a very difficult shot.
Yes, exactly.
wait, so tell me the name of the game again.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Hyoden.
Okay.
Mamonotachi To no Chikai.
Okay.
That was easier that time.
Great.
It's always easier the second time.
Yeah, just got to get through it once and then boom.
Yeah.
It's in there.
It was a miracle shot.
Right.
I don't know if that makes
Brent,
sense.
Okay. You just pulled off your own miracle shot.
So here we go. Super Famicom, Miracle Shot. is music from Hyoden, Mama no Tachi to no Chikai. Mm-hmm. Music by Motoi Sakuraba, Shinji Tamura, Ryota Furuya, and Hiroya Hatsushiba. This is Miracle Shot.
If we're keeping with the 80s cop motif, training montage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Learning how to jump over the wall. Uh-huh. I don't know. What else do you do when you train to be a cop? You jump over that wall.
You got to, jog through the tires
or something. Sure, yep,
jog. That's maybe more boot camp.
Yeah, I bet that's part of it.
Yeah, I think I saw that in Police Academy, I think there was a part in Police Academy where there was some...
And then you learn how to make sound effects. You learn how to...
You learn how to fake a machine gun or...
Sure, a helicopter to trick the bad guys.
Or pretend there's a tennis match going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my favorite part of Police Academy, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Michael Winslow?
That's the only reason I watched it. It was not the only reason I watched
but
it.
But, I mean...
It was any scene that he was in, I was just... I wanted to be him.
Yeah.
I thought, ooh, I want to be a sound effect guy.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
He's so good. He's crazy. He's crazy good.
Yeah.
He's like.
He's the best
He's like Streets of Rage 3 good.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Streets of Rage 3 of sound effects.
Of Police Academy.
Of Police Academy, yeah. Steve Gutenberg is Streets of Rage 1. Okay. Bobcat Goldthwait.
It's funny that you went there, too. He's like, all right. Well, this track is, I love the beginning of this track. This just sounds so... Oh, listen to the stereo situation going on with that fluttering thing going around back and forth, you know? I love that opening part. It reminded me of like an 80s TV show.
Small Wonder.
I'm thinking like special presentation,
movie of the week, yeah.
I also really like this other part coming up where it's... the drum, you start hearing the snare drum hit, boom, boom, boom. Right, I think it's coming up around here. It's coming up right here, actually. The snare drum's doing its regular thing, and then it starts to. Yeah. Kind of just makes it more pumped up, you know? Snare drum is just hitting, boom,
Any
boom,
thoughts
boom.
On what this game is?
I think it's a role-playing game,
Yeah.
I think it's the end, too. Okay. I mean, the final thing you need to do. But, and then they're going to bring back that intro part right here in a little bit, which, it has that kind of TV show thing. Yeah. Listen to that stereo situation.
It's nice.
It's going back and forth. It's neat. Anyway. All right. So, Power Rangers, Fighting Edition.
Mm.
That's what's up next.
Okay.
This is a Natsume game, developed by Natsume, probably published by Bandai. And this is music composed by Hiroyuki Iwatsuki and Haruo Ohashi. This is a Super Nintendo game.
Okay.
And this actually did come out in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear Grand Canyon, which in the beginning of this track, it's got a kind of style that's not really my style as much at first, but then it becomes very much my style because it sounds kind of just more of a sort of rock kind of situation, and then it becomes very... almost kind of jazz fusion-y in a way. It's kind of proggy, actually. It goes from just a regular rock to prog rock, and you'll see how that works out. Power Rangers Fighting Edition for the Super Nintendo. Power Rangers, the Fighting Edition. This is music by Hiroyuki Iwatsuki and Haruo Ohashi. This is Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it seems like a good example. This seems like very quintessentially Super Nintendo music to me. It would be an interesting game to play of playing a track and for somebody to guess what console it was from.
Oh, it's pretty easy. You can... They're all pretty distinct. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No. This seems very. It's very quintessentially Super Nintendo. Great. This is great. I mean, I know you know it's a fighting game, so this probably doesn't have a boss level per se, but this would make such great boss music.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's probably final.
Yeah.
Guys
there's
who have
probably
to fight,
a
you know, final,
M. Bison.
Yeah. An M. Bison
equivalent.
Yeah. Ivan Ooze.
There you go. Sure. There's.
I think is the name of the main bad guy. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
You know, I totally. I was just a little bit too old for Power Rangers.
Oh yeah.
When it
no,
came out.
I know. Yeah, we all are. I think. But I had little brothers who watched
it.
But I still. Yeah. But what I was saying earlier was that you know this starts out as it sounds kind of like. Skater rock in the beginning, you know?
Sure,
and then it becomes totally fusion-y to me and proggy. It sounds like Rush at a certain point. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, so this isn't the beginning. It's like skater rock right now, right? And then this is kind of proggy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's very Rush. But yeah, you can hear the 12 cymbal drum set used to make that.
It's like it starts out all. It really kind of changes, you know, because it sounds. I guess it starts out, it's kind of simple, and then it gets a lot more complex. With all the chord changes and stuff, you know? So here's the beginning. Or, not yet, but... It's the beginning. Kind of skater rock.
Right,
I mean?
Right,
this
sure.
Is, you know...
Yeah, it's a Slayer guitar riff.
Yeah.
Or
then
it could be.
Then you get these different chord changes coming up, like... And these rhythms that are complicated, you know? These complicated drumming rhythms. Of the drums. There's a lot going on there.
There's a ton going on, yeah. You know, of the licensed fighting games of this era, I definitely have a lot of fond memories of the Ninja Turtles fighting game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Two versions, different one for Genesis, then Super Nintendo.
Different music, too. Actually,
yeah. Both Konami games, so I definitely remember them both having very cool music.
Yeah.
The Super Nintendo one was the superior game by far. But you can do a good licensed fighting game, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. So that almost brings us to the end of the program. And for a full track listing, you can check out legacymusichour.com. And you can also comment there if you want to create discussion about the tracks you heard on the show. You can do that in the comment section. You can email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com with questions or comments.
You want to talk about Police Academy.
Yeah,
that's a good place to do it.
Yeah. You want to create discussion about Police Academy? Any of them, 1 through 6?
Sure. When they went to Russia, let's hear what your thoughts are about that.
What's your thoughts on just Russia?
Yeah.
Forget Police Academy.
The country.
Yeah. And
they have a lot of dashboard cameras, I hear.
They have Tetris.
Bring
it back to video games.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can also call or text us at... See, Rob usually says the phone number.
I have that problem on my podcast when Jesse's not there. He usually says the phone number for our podcast. I don't think I know it by heart.
It's 281-SONIC-91,
Okay.
And, Jesse doesn't do your podcast sometimes?
Sometimes he'll be gone and I will be the
host
really? With two guests. So
oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't. Oh, wow. So this, what I did today, you've been through this before.
Oh, yeah. Old hat.
Oh, wow.
I can go without one of the usual hosts.
Okay, wow. And so also if you want to vote for your favorite track, this is the last time we're doing the poll. We've been doing a poll for the last, I think, 30 episodes. So the winner, gets posted on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And you get to pick your favorite track. I'm probably going to pick that Moon track, I think, the one from Streets of Rage 3.
Yeah, me too. I think we're both simpatico
on
that.
Wow,
yeah,
okay,
probably my second favorite was the Twin B music, the Max Out.
Oh, yeah,
That Streets of Rage music is so cool.
Yeah,
so just
really
evocative
cool.
of a time in video games, I think.
And then what was your third pick, just out of curiosity, would you say?
Let's see. Third pick? Yeah, liked Power Rangers a lot. Oh, you know that baseball music at the beginning
oh,
was
you
so
like
great.
That? Okay,
just like it really just felt so Game Boy-y to
me. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, Rob, you better vote. This is our last. I'm going to vote on this. This is the last one.
Yeah,
we'll go out
vote,
with
man.
A bang.
Take a vote.
Cuz we've been not voting on him. And anyway, we're doing away with the voting thing now, but we will post the winners on Facebook. You have a week to vote. So Tuesday at 11 at 11:59 p.m. basically.
Okay.
So,
boom.
All right. And
close it down.
You want to email us at legacymusicr@gmail.com 140 poll.
Okay.
Or you can and then put your choice there. You can vote too, Jordan, if you want.
I'm probably going to vote.
Okay. Good.
I'm probably going to head over to the Facebook page and vote there.
Well, I guess you can send us a fake Facebook message, but
you prefer
to
email
or the text,
okay,
or whatever.
I'll use one.
Or you
of those
can leave
options.
A message too, a live message if you want to call. Yeah. All right. So, and then what else? Anything else? Next week's topic, I think, tentatively, it's female protagonist games. So, games that are, where the lead is a female and. She can't share that lead with anybody else.
Okay.
But with any male characters.
I think
so,
the Ease game, or at least the one I played, had a female protagonist.
Well, it can't be, for example, Golden Axe or whatever.
Okay,
there's a female lead in that, but she's sharing it with two...
A dwarf.
A dwarf and a man.
Yeah.
Because, that's a separate category in itself.
Sure.
What about it? That would be a funny topic. Dwarf protagonist?
The best dwarf protagonist?
Yeah.
Is Bonk a dwarf? He's a vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian.
Yeah. Okay.
he's
just that small because he doesn't get enough iron.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I think that's it. I think. Right? I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. That's it.
Seems good to me. Seems very thorough.
Okay. So we have one last track. This is our closing track, and I kind of actually mentioned it already, but before I get to that track, let me just. We get this music going and back up again. I want to thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks
for having me.
Coming on the show.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did, immensely.
I mean, it's not like, that'd be funny if, I mean, I guess it could be possible that I say, I hope you enjoyed yourself, and no, not really.
C-. Yeah. It's fine.
But,
it's fine.
No, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks. I genuinely had a great time. It's so fun to talk about all this stuff.
And do you want to plug anything at all?
I would love to. If people would like to listen to my podcast, it's called Jordan Jesse Go. It's at MaximumFun.org or on iTunes. Brent, you've been a guest.
That's right.
So if they want to start with the Brent Weinbach episode, boom.
Yeah, boom, right
start
there.
Start there, and then, if you like the show, move on to other episodes.
And anything else, like you, the cartoon, anything?
The cartoon I mentioned is called Fetch Quest. It's on Geek & Sundry. I don't think they're going to buy any more from us, but maybe if the Legacy Music Hour listeners come through and just demolish this thing, they'll order some more. Who knows?
I want to thank Rob F. Switch for being here
Rob.
In spirit.
Yeah.
So
you have a beautiful spirit, a fragrant spirit.
Yeah. And he'll be back. He'll be back next week.
Great.
So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for more Rob F. Switch. Let's see here. So we're going to close with a track from a game I'm sure you're familiar with because it's a Genesis game. And it's one of the classic Genesis games. I mean, it's not Sonic the Hedgehog, but... Golden Axe.
Oh, sure.
Number one,
absolutely.
Too. Number one.
It's a great game.
This is music composed by Makoto Uchida and Toru Nakabayashi. And we're going to hear Theme of Thief. This is the music that plays when you're sleeping.
Oh, you're sleeping and you have
the,
to... Yep,
yeah,
you
and
have
the
to,
guy
comes,
yeah, and steals
that's
your
great.
Stuff. Yeah, so... that's what we're going to hear. I'm sure you know this track. This is kind of a classic track, actually.
I think so, too. I would say that this is classic video game music.
So, closing it out, the Genesis track, Golden Axe. This counts, too, for the poll, by the way, just to put that out there, listeners. This is the last poll. You guys, let's do it up for the last one.
Vote. Vote a lot.
Golden Axe. Okay. My name is Brent Weinbach. My guest has been Jordan Morris.
It has been.
And... Our engineer is Monica Xiao. The name of the program is the Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.